Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's time to take command.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. I'm Grant Paulson, and along with my co-host, 10-year NFL tight end Logan Paulson, we break down the plays and schemes and give you in-depth analysis, honest evaluations, and the context you need to truly understand the game. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday. Listen to and follow Take Command wherever you get your pod.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
But Ben awaits, so let's get to him. So Ben, what is your expectation realistically today, and why is it unlikely seemingly that everybody gets what they want, which is this big sell-off of a bunch of players?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, a lot potentially has changed over there in the last few days because of the Jaden Daniels injury and then the losing streak. But even if they wanted to, say, lean into a sell-off, you know, they just don't really have a lot of guys that you would anticipate being valued around the league in any really big way. I mean, I haven't been viewing this from the perspective of, you know, some of the bigger name guys, but if you look at a lot of the expiring contracts, like someone like Andrew Wiley, when I asked around the league, you talked to front office execs, including GMs, and said, okay, here are some of the guys that the Commanders could realistically move. What do you think? Well, like Wiley was the guy that people mentioned the most, but like, we're talking like, you know, Wiley in a seventh for a sixth, something like that. Everybody needs offensive line help at all times. So this should, you know, in theory, there should be a market for something like that, but you know, that's not going to move the needle. People aren't going to be, you know, say trusting Adam Peters for that type of a trade. So I just don't know that there's going to be much else. Now, if they do get a lot more aggressive and that they think, hey, we need to do something, then who knows? Maybe, you know, maybe a Daron Payne is on the table or some other guys, but it just doesn't feel that way. I mean, they are still, you know, they can't give up on the season, even if the rest of us are kind of looking ahead to 2026. So at the moment, at least, I don't get the sense that they're going to do anything dramatic, and honestly, really haven't heard too much at all.
So, Ben, the first part of your answer I loved and I get, which is they don't really have the types of players with the value to trade, so it's not going to happen. But at the end there was kind of this idea of they're not really giving up on the season, and my God, do I hate that. They should.
Please give up.
Think about the future here. You had the fewest picks last year, and you might have the fewest picks again this year if nothing changes. And I'm not suggesting they can get a bunch of picks that matter, but the reason can't be because they don't want to.
Yeah, and just to clarify, like, again, I don't know what their thinking is over the last, you know, if anything's changed since the last game when it was, you know, utter disaster in 100 different ways. So maybe, and look, and I'm somebody who advocates for them, even if it's the minor deal, like I just said, a player and a seventh for a sixth, people might be like, oh, it's no big deal. Well, it's accumulation, right? You got to just continually to build up what you have and figure out and go from there. So I'm down for all those types of things. And in that sense, you know, I don't know that they wouldn't be, right? I mean, the thing about, say, like a guy like Wiley, who's on their bench and they value him as a reserve, but like they have other guys that can sort of fill in that role. I mean, if somebody called up for Von Miller and said, hey, what about him? Look, I mean, if Washington's like, wow, we just lost all our defensive ends, we don't want to do that. But on the other hand, you know, he's 36 and it's going to be an expiring deal. You would think that logically they would look to the bigger picture. But, you know, beyond that, though, is like, I just don't know that they're like looking to take guys that we would perceive as players that they're going to be on this team next year and move those kind of guys. So I would think anything on the edges that they could do, but again, they haven't, but they also haven't done anything. And I just said, when I've talked to people around the league, this goes beyond just this deal. I mean, look, I know what you guys do. You love when there's a rumor out there. Schefter, somebody's reporting the Commanders could do X. It must stink because nobody reports anything on them. There's nothing is being said for the most part, and that's just how they are. So it's hard to know exactly what they're thinking, but you know, I've just had no indication that they're looking to make the sweeping changes that would say, yeah, we're all, you know, we're going from a recalibration to a rebuild.
Ben Standing with us here on G&D. They're trying to trade players though, right? Like, I that's what I want to come back to. Like, my only fear here, Ben, is that they're so, you know, eyeball deep in this culture, and we're going to culture everybody, and there'll be so much culture that's going to be coming out your ears, and let's ring the bell for culture, that they won't be able to say, like, how do you look the veteran in the eye and tell him that his buddy's traded? Like, pretty easily, by the way, if I'm the executive. But are they trying to get some value?
Well, I think, you know, whenever we see the terms of somebody is, you know, making calls on this, or they're, you know, taking calls on that, that's just due diligence. I mean, all teams do these things. So those types of reports drive me crazy. That's for the most part not a thing. So I think they're doing that much, certainly. But is it more aggressive than that? You know, like I said, that's the part that's I just haven't gotten much sense that there's like a big move for that. Now, I will say to them, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, almost all the deals today have been pretty bigger deals, right? There really hasn't been that. I mean, maybe there's been one, but like, it's not like there's a bunch of these sixth or seventh round swaps with a player involved, right? It's some of these bigger deals. I think in general, like in talking to people around the league, they didn't think it was going to be some massive day. I guess they didn't get the memo that the Jets were going to go nuts and trade away like two of their best players.
By the way, Jets, because I don't think we've mentioned this compensation. We were wondering what Quinnen Williams would net. They're getting a one and a two and a defensive lineman back as a rotational piece for him. So they've added three first-round picks and a second-round pick, albeit by maybe trading their two best players today, Ben, in Sauce Gardner and Quinnen Williams.
Yeah, I mean, look, I still processing those trades from the Jets' perspective, and I don't know them as intimately as this team, but, you know, look, they're obviously a terrible team. They have no idea what they're doing at quarterback. And by the time they figure that out, these guys that they just traded away will probably be, you know, towards, you know, maybe not the back end of their careers, but, you know, certainly more towards the middle and later. So the Jets are, you know, new regime. They're starting over. I totally get what they're doing. But, like, for the rest of the league, I think one of the themes has been so many teams are still, like, in the kind of mix for, the you know, a wild card spot, that teams just have not been willing to move on. And the teams at the bottom, you know, in terms of some of their better players, are not just willing to say, we'll give them up just for the sake of giving them up. So that's led to, like I said, a little bit of a stalemate here. It looks like some teams have said, okay, we'll pony up a bit more for your Jacoby Myerses of the world or what have you. But, you know, there just hasn't been those types of deals so far that Washington, I would think, would be potentially in the mix for. So, like I said, I imagine they're doing their due diligence. I just think they're in a weird space of – you know, not necessarily having the starry players that some of these other teams are making moves for, and the more subtle moves. Maybe it'll change here in the next 50 minutes, but those haven't been the ones that people have been making deals for.
Well, so Ben, to that point, if the buzz is about Andrew Wiley or another rotational guard, I understand that. Why aren't they offering Daron Payne or Frankie Louvu, guys that are under contract, but you know have a couple years left, and do the year too early move instead of the year too late move to really reset and grab some draft capital? I mean, there's a number of guys that if they were willing to trade, might actually get something. Again, not no first or second rounders, nothing high profile, but it would help you. It would increase your stock, and maybe having draft capital might be good. That doesn't seem to be across anyone's mind, though, except for mine.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, I certainly get where you're coming from. And to me, you know, I would identify, you know, who are the young guys, who are the people I want to keep, you know, presumably like all your recent draft picks and, you know, a handful of other guys, and say, okay, everybody else is at least willing to listen on. But that's you and me talking about it from a non-emotional standpoint. This is a group that just went to the NFC Championship game, and they kept the core around and think to themselves, I mean, they've had Super Bowl aspirations, at least, right, up until 10 minutes ago. A lot of people in this town had that, you know, thinking they were going to be a better year than they've had. And I just imagine on some level, this is just my guess, that there's some level of ego involved of like, man, are we really going to just blow this thing up? We just tend, you know, if we don't have all these injuries, right, if Jaden's healthy, if Terry's healthy, are we really this bad? And if they want to make the argument that they're not, that's fine. I don't even necessarily think that they're insane for that. I thought, like, the offense the first, you know, 5 weeks of the year or so was pretty good. But once Debo's heel got hurt and he became a lesser player, and then Jaden, you know, couldn't stay in the lineup, everything started to fall apart. So if they look at it and say, well, we don't have the injuries and we do X, Y, or Z, you know, we can get back to, you know, the playoffs next year, I get why they wouldn't want to cut or dump guys who are they think are going to be part of the team. Daron Payne's more of the interesting one to me because I don't know that he's on this team next year unless they renegotiate his deal, and I don't know that that makes sense for either side. So that's one I would agree with you on, but the rest of it, if they like guys who they think, you know, can get this thing back on track where it was, again, 10 minutes ago, then I get why they're not looking to move some of these names.
Ben Standig is with us. You can check out his Substack, Last Man Standig, for Commanders coverage and content. I'm going to go off the beaten path here, Ben, but this is something I've been toiling on for a couple of weeks. Cliff Kingsbury's head coaching status. Mm-hmm. This was one of my big concerns when they went with Quinn and then brought him in, was you could lose him. And he was a hot commodity last offseason. I was told he told the Saints, no, thank you, and kind of pulled his name before Moore got that job. But the right job wasn't out there when the Bears wasn't available. Is he losing a stranglehold on, you know, being a hot name, or are we not there yet? They're 13th in offense. Obviously, for a month, they've struggled to run the ball. It would feel like if he's getting two or three interviews again this offseason, he'd be way more inclined maybe to leap than a year ago, the way things have trended. But I just wonder, like, if the trajectory continues, do you still see him as one of the top names out there, or could this year actually force him to stay whether he wants to or not for another season?
Yeah, well, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Grant. I think his Cardinals head coaching money runs out this year.
I think this is the last year he's getting paid, which is hilarious, by the way.
Right. So, I mean, you know, that's got to be some factor. You know, he didn't have to rush it last year. Look, I mean, based on how these things typically go, it is more of the hot...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. We break down the plays and schemes and give you in-depth analysis. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday. Listen to and follow Take Command wherever you get your pods.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Candidate versus necessarily somebody who's just the better person, even if they happen to be on a team that wasn't as good this year. You know, based on that, I could definitely see him not being as interesting to teams around the league, you know, because there will be new hot shots that are, you know, directing whatever team it might be, and if people want to get a piece of that action. So there's always that. There's also a ton of college jobs, and while I don't see Cliff craving to go back to college, if the money's right, which it typically is, and these are really high-profile jobs, I mean, he would certainly be an attractive name, right? I mean, he plays a fun style. Look what he's done with, Mahomes in college. Look what he's helped, you know, he did with Jaden Daniels last year. So I could see that. So I think he would probably have options, but from the NFL perspective, maybe not. And yeah, to your point, it could end up being that, at the end of the day, he ends up staying here in part because the opportunities are just not there the way they were a year ago. But look, this is a guy who's I think he's a pretty smooth talker. I think he's one of those guys that probably wins an interview. All right, there's a charm to him, and he's had success. And if you're a realistic person, what's happened with Washington this year, the injuries are a massive factor. So the only question would be, if you look at the tape and see defenses have adjusted to what he was doing and he didn't pull and he didn't make enough adjustments back, that could give me pause. But the rest of it, if you think he's interesting, the fact that they've been not good this year at this point would not throw me if I thought he was the guy for me in the first place.
Ben, what part of their plan in retrospect, because at the time I was all in, you go to the NFC title game, I'd probably, you know, run some of that same stuff back. But what part of their plan that's led us here turned out to be the most wrong?
Good question. So I wrote about this the other day, that if you look at their like sort of top five moves, the ones that were like the bigger, splashier ones or ones that cost more assets, that would be, in no particular order, Laremy Tunsil, Debo Samuel, Javon Kinlaw, Josh Connerly, Trey Amos, right? Well, it's all kind of worked out. I mean, Connor is the only one where we're sort of waiting, but, you know, he's good. I'm giving him a massive benefit of the doubt so far because he's a rookie, and, you know, we see the traits. He's just got to get more experience. So, like, the top moves that they made, I think would say that they all worked out, relatively speaking. I think they've just been absolutely screwed with the injuries at two spots, receiver and defensive end. Now, the receiver one to me is a bit indefensible. Like, it was obvious for months that they needed to get better depth behind, if nothing else, Noah Brown, knowing his injury history. And then, of course, he gets hurt at minicamp, and they didn't do anything about it, while simultaneously Terry McLaurin is holding out. And so you're looking at this receiver room going, well, where's the help for Jaden Daniels? I remember they did a split squad scrimmage out there in Ashburn, and it was the worst I had seen this offense look since Jaden had gotten here. And I know it was a practice, but he had nowhere to go. He was getting hammered on the line at that point, and he just had no receivers. Like, nobody was getting open. And of course, we've seen that now play out. You know what's to me, I guess probably the biggest thing would be the pieces around him from a skill set position. I mean, what's crazy is last year his top receivers were Terry McLaurin, Noah Brown, De'Ami Brown, Olamide Zaccheaus, Jamison Crowder. None of those guys will be playing on the field on Sunday, and, you know, three of them are not even with the team. Like, they really overturned – that room is very different than it was a year ago when he had so much success, not to mention the top two running backs from last year. One got traded, one is hurt. So Jaden is really not working with the same skill pieces other than Zach Ertz, who, you know, is a fine – target in the red zone, but, you know, he doesn't give you much, you know, from the 20 to the 20 because he just doesn't have a lot of speed. So, you know, I think that probably as much as anything is probably what I would say is where they miscalculated the most. But, you know, the injuries, I mean, Noah Brown, unfortunately, that was just going to be a thing. The Terry part, we've all discussed 100 times. Who knows what happens if he signs quickly. But not having better options, even if he was around, I think is probably what really kind of doomed the offense to a degree.
Ben Standig, Grant and Danny, all right, we'll let you out on this one, last one. The quarterback, Jaden Daniels, suffers the serious elbow dislocation and injury. What do we know? Timeline, the team's been pretty coy. Didn't sound good from some of the stuff that was out there yesterday. What are you hearing on whether or not he plays again this season?
Yeah, you know, like you said, they're playing this one pretty close. So we'll see. I had a specialist on my podcast yesterday to discuss, okay, well, without knowing, you know, I hate the Twitter docs, but I'm like, okay, just based on, tell us the ranges of the outcomes.
And, you hate the Twitter docs, but you like the podcast docs.
Well, this was more of like, I don't understand anything about, no, I know. The Twitter docs just sound very official based on 2 seconds of a replay. But, you know, it's just like, you know, if it's the better outcome of the deal where it's you know, no ligaments were damaged, things like that, like a month to two was what I was told. And then, you know, if there's more damage to that than beyond that, you know, if we're talking closer to 2 months, that's basically the end of the season. So I don't know why it would make sense to bring him back. And even if it is on the shorter end, you know, you'd have to ask the question, is it worth it? You know, it's not just this injury. He's had multiple injuries. If they think it's worth it on some level, if he's cleared, to bring him back, not so much from a confidence perspective, but just to get some kind of rhythm that just never really developed this year, maybe that would make sense. But, you know, for me, I'm always going to be cautious with these things. and I would lean towards just letting it ride out and see him in the, you know, next off season. But no, in terms of what is the reality, you know, don't know. We'll have to wait for Dan Quinn, and even then, you know, who knows if we're going to get a great answer. Still never was told. We're still never told officially what the knee injury was, right? So I don't know what.
Or that the rib was broken. That was a year ago.
Right. So, you know, so we'll see. You know, the way Quinn said it the other day about, you know, it'll be out a while. You know, I would be, you know, if we get to the last 3 weeks of the year and he's available, we'll see what they have to say. But I don't know right now. To me, I would lean towards not playing him, but obviously that is not my call.
Well, we know the communication is about to improve. Joe Witt's moving to the sideline. So the information will be freely flowing from now on, Ben.
It will be. That was a fun move. That's the move when you're like, and look, maybe it helps. I'm not discounting it, but that's the move you make when you don't want to do. You have to do something, but you don't want to do something.
Yeah.
So you move them down there, and we'll see.
I'm amazing at that. When it's time to clean, I'm just opening and closing drawers, making a big loud production, letting my wife know I don't know what I'm
doing.
It's
like the first step of the diet is to like go shopping. You go get your groceries. They put them in the fridge. You're like, all right, I'm ready to eat healthy this week.
Yeah, I have to get rid of all this old leftover pizza first. Then I'll start my diet. Ben, thank you, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
All right, be good. There's Ben Standig, Substack Standig. You can check him out at Last Man Standig.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday, wherever you get your pods.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.